Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the first book of Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he lay down again, but the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate, and drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God, a fragrant aroma. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today not with Dawn, but with Father Mark Brewer.
Hello, Brian.
And welcome back to the podcast. We've been looking to have you back. Dawn was so excited to have you back on the podcast, and she was so excited that she actually didn't show up this week for the podcast.
That's right. She's at a work camp, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's out with the youth doing some kind of service work, I believe, with them of her parish. So she's a youth minister for people who don't know, but though I think most people who listen are people from Canandaigua, so they probably do know.
Yes.
And they probably know both of us as well.
That's
and
true.
And our wonderful routine that, you know, we haven't had a chance to do our, you know, bickering back and forth in a long time. And, you know, every time I see you now, I feel like I can't do that because I'm not seeing you on a daily basis anymore, that I have to be nice to you every time I see
you. That's
right. Because it's so infrequent there.
That's true.
But But anyway, did you have anything that you wanted to mention or to get us started on the readings today? Anything that struck you? Or
well, here we are again in John's Gospel. You know, we're in the year of Mark's Gospel, but we get these readings from John's Gospel because they are the whole Bread of Life discourse. And, you know, people might think, well, geez, we heard this last week, didn't we? Didn't he say it was Bread of Life last week and we got to hear it again? And, you know, I think it's good for us to hear this Bread of Life discourse, you know, every 3 years and to have it for, you know, a series of few weeks because, you know, like in the Gospel, when we see the people at the beginning who think they know him, you know, they say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? You know, we think we're very familiar with Jesus and we've got him pegged and we know him very well. And we can even do that with people that we know. But how often do sometimes our closest friends and spouses and people that we are related to sometimes surprise us with the things that they do or say or the choices that we make? And we think, gosh, I guess I really didn't know them. And maybe the same thing can be applied to Christ, you know, that we think we know him, but we have to realize that this is such an organic relationship and it's always going to be growing because God is limitless. So how could we ever know the totality of God? So I think it's great for us to be immersed, you know, for these few weeks into the Bread of Life discourse to really look at, you know, what does that mean in my life? Make it very personal. Who is Christ for me as the Bread of Life?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's also an important thing because this is John's theology of the Eucharist, too. John's is a gospel. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, and probably people are going to say, yeah, we know you've mentioned it 20 times. Right. But it's a gospel that doesn't have what we call the institution narrative, right. The story of the Last Supper, where Jesus is with his disciples, you know, the story that we hear at Mass all the time. Right. This is John's big theology of the Eucharist right here. He doesn't have that institution narrative, but he does talk about the Eucharist, and one of the areas where we hone in on in John's Gospel is this sixth chapter where he has what we call, as you said, the Bread of Life discourse. And he says, you know, I am the bread of life. And at the end of this, he says, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Mm-hmm. And so right there, I mean, that's the Eucharist, as we say. You know, we transubstantiate the bread and wine. It's no longer bread and wine. It's not symbolic. It actually is the flesh of Christ, the body and blood of Christ. So that is something that is very clear from John's Gospel here. Another thing that struck me is sort of right after the line that you were talking about, Jesus responds to that when they're sitting here saying, you know, aren't you the guy that's Joseph's son? Aren't you Mary's son? I mean, we know who you are. How can you say you came from heaven? Jesus' next line is he says, you know, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I think that's an important line for us to remember. First of all, we can get it in our minds sometimes that we chose to be Catholic or we choose to do this or we have faith and it's as if it's our own doing, as if it's something that came from us.
Right.
And I think that's a nice reminder for us to be a little humble and remember that we only have that faith because the Father gave it to us.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, without that, we could try as we might want, we would never really come to know Christ and to know the Father. And in a sense, for us, Christ would be. We'd be kind of like the secular scholars, let's say, the people who study the Bible but don't do it from a point of faith, who would say, well, Jesus is Mary's son, he's Joseph's son, but they wouldn't be able to see beyond that. We can't see beyond that without the aid of the Holy Spirit, without the aid of the Father to begin with. And so I think this applies to us in so many areas of our lives. A lot of times we tend to have a short patience or short temper with people who don't have the same faith as us. And it's kind of a reminder that, hey, that faith is a gift from God. And if God chose not to give it to somebody else in the same quantity he gave it to you, don't hold that against them. That's God's business.
Right,
you know?
Right.
We can get into a lot of trouble when we try to figure out what God should or shouldn't have done. Of course, on the flip side of that, there can be times when we or even people we know are being obstinate, where we have this faith, we kind of know the truth, yet we don't want to do it either because it's inconvenient or don't follow it, or you know, it can be hard sometimes to follow the truth. And we have to remember too, then, in those situations, that it comes from the Father again, and that it is God's will. So again, it's, you know, not up to us to sit here and judge that. It's up to us to follow the one follow the Father and the one whom he sent.
You know, we can be very ego-centered in our lives, you know, especially as Americans, you know, we can really just make it all about me. And this is a real, like you said, a humbling reading for us to realize that this is God's, you know, this is not our work. This is God's work, and we are participants in it, and we're called to deeper life through it, you know. And so to look at the food that is being given to us by God and even try to, you know, deepen that food within ourselves and allow God to work his life and to give us life through us, I think is very important. You know, we can be like Elijah in that first reading sometimes when we come to church on Sunday and say, you know, this is enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm really tired. And how many of us have had, you know, weeks or months or, you know, long periods of time where life is just very difficult? Why not?
Like seminary, yes.
You know? Exactly. It's wonderful when we can come together at Eucharist and be fed by God. And let God do the work that he does best, you know, and that is give us life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing is, I think it kind of touches on what you were saying there, is so much of that when we get this tired feeling of, you know, where you want to say, just take my life or let's just end it here. A lot of it comes from when we're seeking and trying to go after some of the wrong things. We're looking and we're focusing primarily or maybe even only on material things. And Christ tells us right here, he says, you know, your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. You know, if you're going to focus on these material things, I mean, certainly God takes care of our material needs. It was God who gave the manna in the first place. But there's more to it than that. You die if that's all you do is eat the stuff that God has physically given to you or just consume, you know, what we have here on this earth. There has to be something more. You have to have that bread that comes down from heaven, which Jesus says, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. And if you eat that bread, you won't die. You're going to have eternal life if you believe. And that's really important because so often, I think, we get caught up in what we want and what we need. And so many people, I don't know if you have this experience in talking with people. One of the experiences I have is when people come to me and they ask how to pray, a lot of times the only form of prayer that they know is the petitions, how to tell God, you know, gee, I need, you know, $1 million, I need to win the lottery, or, you know, I need that you cure this person, or I need you to help me find a new job. But it's all, I need. That's only one type of prayer, and it only deals with, you know, what it is we have as our material needs. And certainly we need to bring those before God, so I'm not belittling that. But I think that what Jesus is saying is if that's all you do, you're going to die because everything you're asking for is something that's temporal. It's not something that's going to last forever. You need to come to me and take in what I'm teaching you here. Take in how I'm teaching you to relate to people. Take in, you know, all these attitudes that I'm giving to you or the beatitudes that I'm giving to you. Make those your own because that's going to be what you take with you. You know, whether or not you got your job here that you're asking for doesn't carry over to the next life.
You know, I think a couple of people this week that I was talking with, you know, I kind of asked the question, you know, what are you really feeding on? What kind of food are you feeding on? You know, and in conversation, you know, hearing things like anger at someone or even despair or hatred, you know, or on the inability to forgive someone. You know, sometimes we feed on this food that we think is best for us. And what we realize in the end is that it is food that maybe feeds our bellies and it's temporary, but it's certainly not food that feeds our spirit, you know, and that's certainly not from God.
Right, yeah. And some of those things that you mentioned can even at times starve our spirit. Like if you're holding on to anger unjustly or if you're unable to forgive somebody and you're holding grudges or holding this resentment and things, you're stifling your spirit. You know, it's kind of, you're going on an unhealthy fast,
so to speak.
So I think that that's something that, you know, really comes out of this gospel. Now, I am looking and we are running out of time here podcast. Mark, I'm hoping that we will have you back and hopefully we'll get you on a regular basis somehow between you, me, and Don, and the three of us can get back to our old ways of picking on each other and picking on Don, of course.
Absolutely.
And And hopefully people will come back to listen to that on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.